among those of like precious faith and to be able to be busy about our Father's business. I appreciate so very much that you're here, especially those that are visiting with us. We have several visitors. We thank you for being here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I want to quickly begin, before I begin the sermon, just mention a couple of things to you. I may have put in the bulletin on June 4th that we was going to strive to have a day of door knocking. That's actually June 5th. Our singing is June the 4th, and we'll get together at a time we'll later announce on that Saturday just before our meeting begins on the following Monday. But on June the 5th, we'll meet together and split up, divide up, and go out and knock every door that we possibly can in the time that we've determined to do that. And so there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and I encourage every one of you that's able to sign up to be able to go out and door knock. Whether you can devote 15, 20, 30 minutes or all day that we do that, I encourage you to sign up for that endeavor as we prepare for our gospel meeting that will start on June the 7th. All of our material will be here, and you can pick plenty of that up and go out and door knock. And I also want to commend you and encourage you at the same time. I commend you because you support a lot of work. Not only do you support me and my family to be able to work among you on a full-time regular basis, and not only do you support two men, one in South America and one in Oklahoma, to labor in service to the Lord, you also, as you know, you support and you pay for and provide a radio program that comes on Sunday mornings at 10:35, a 30-minute radio program on 106.9 and 106.9 FM and 1400 AM, as well as a 30-minute TV broadcast that comes on several times during the week at 8:35 on Spectrum Channel 376. You also supported for a good number of years now a 15-minute broadcast on 101.1 WSJS out of Perry County. That's 15 minutes. And so I encourage you to continue to do that and to commend you for doing that. We get feedback from time to time that individuals watch and they listen to those broadcasts, and some good studies have resulted from that, correspondence studies and requests for Bible study material and copies of those broadcasts. And then I also want to commend you for not only doing all of that, but beginning this afternoon, you've picked up another 15-minute broadcast on the 101.1 FM station, and that'll be a question and answer program that we've started that'll begin this afternoon at 3:30, and it gives individuals time, opportunity to ask various questions and to have those questions answered on that broadcast. And so I encourage you and I commend you to continue to do all that you're doing and more in service to the Lord. Again, I appreciate you being here. Last week and week before, we did a two-lesson series on what the Bible teaches about hell. And I think it was that first lesson that I gave you 10 things, or several things, I should say, that the Bible teaches about eternal separation from God. And I don't want to go there. And I'm convinced I'm talking to a room full of people who do not want to go to hell, right? You don't want to be eternally separated from God. And then last week I talked with you and gave you several things, several worries that will not be in hell. People who are eternally separated from God will never have to worry about another gospel sermon being proclaimed. They'll never have to worry about another invitation to come to services. They'll never have to worry about caring brethren who want to see them restored. And I gave you several worries that they'll never have to worry about again. But today I want to talk with you about heaven, and some things that the Bible says about heaven and how beautiful heaven must be. Sometimes the hymn is sung. I'm not sure if it's in this hymn book or not, how beautiful heaven must be. I love that hymn. Sometimes we sing about above the bright blue, and that is in this hymn book, hymn 203. And sometimes we sing the hymn that is hymn 191, heaven holds all to me, just beautiful hymns. And so I love to hear about heaven. I love to think about going to heaven for all eternity when this life is over, especially in light of how difficult that this life can be. And so I love to study about heaven. I love to think about and anticipate heaven. I love to hear other individuals talk about heaven. I love to sing about heaven. I love to hear you sing about heaven. And so before we jump into the lesson, Jacob, who did a very good job this morning, didn't he? He's going to lead us in another hymn, and this one about heaven, hymn 208, Sing to Me of Heaven. And so if you love the fact about going to heaven when life is over, and you love to hear and to sing about heaven, and let that be shown as you blend your voices together and sing to me of heaven.
Sing the first and last verse.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song.
Appreciate you being willing to do that. You did a great job singing that. That sets our mind to be ready to think about some things that the Bible says about that wonderful place called heaven. I want to go, and I hope you do too. You know, we started at the beginning of the year, as I've reminded you often, about doing a series, When Your Children Ask, taken from Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and various things that our young people ask. And so sometimes our young people may say, well, is hell a real place? Well, indeed it is. And so we studied about that. We've talked about the fact that the Bible is indeed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the inspired, inerrant, final revelation from God to man. Now, these are not the words of men, but it is from God. And it will take us from here to an eternity in the presence of God and the joys of heaven, if we will simply obey it and live faithful according to it all the days of our earthly pilgrimage. Well, sometimes we may be asked the question, is heaven a real place? Does heaven really exist, a place in which the Bible describes it must be a beautiful place to be for all eternity, where all the heartaches that come along with this earthly life are over and counted as former things, they are no more? A place where the Bible describes as no more tears because God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Sounds like a great place, doesn't it? A place that, again, that I know that we long to go. Is it a real place? First point I want to stress to you. And the lesson this morning is indeed heaven is a real place. But ladies and gentlemen, much like hell, from the standpoint, not that heaven is much like hell, they're extremely opposite. We'll see that. There are some things that we could talk about, and from the standpoint, as we will talk about, that heaven is eternal and hell is eternal as well, everlasting, without end. But I want to suggest to you that we would have no concept of hell or heaven except we read it in the Word of God, the Bible. And so it's to the Bible that we have to direct our attention. Now, why do I believe in a place called hell? And why do I believe in a place called heaven? Well, we established the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, as I mentioned to you. And so right off the bat, I believe that heaven exists. Are you ready for it? Because the Bible tells me so. And the Bible is right each and every time. And so we need to understand that. But as you study the Word of God and you read your Bible, you'll read just the word heaven used in 551 verses as you read the Bible. And so think about that. The Bible says a lot of things about heaven. Now sometimes the Bible uses the word heaven just to simply talk about the open space of firmament. The firmament in which God created where the birds fly. And the Bible says in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 that He called that open space firmament. Called it heaven. And so God created that. And then the Bible speaks about the heavens from the standpoint of space, where the sun and the moon and the stars are that God created. We're interested this morning talking about heaven, the abode of God, the place that we want to go to when life is over. And so the Bible has much to say about it. I love this statement, as we've talked about many times in John 14, when Jesus in the context was talking to the apostles. And it wasn't long that the Lord was going to be taken from them. Spent about 3 years in His public work, going about and doing much good, as the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 10, verse 22, went about doing good. And He tells the apostles, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John 14, verses 1 through 4. And so, I want to impress upon you first and foremost that heaven is a real place. But also, as you study the Bible, you find out that heaven is everlasting. Now, a lot of times individuals want to take the fact that heaven is everlasting, but then cuts hell short. But you know, the Bible says that everlasting punishment from God separated in the lake of fire is just that, everlasting. But then the joys of heaven is described as being eternal, everlasting. Places like 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, when Peter is writing this epistle to Christians, and he says, "To an inheritance undefiled and uncorruptible." Now watch this. "Reserved, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And so it's everlasting. It's eternal. It will not fade away. It's not corruptible. It's not something that perishes and passes away, but it's everlasting. In Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And again, appreciate the very good job that Ray did in the Bible reading of Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." And you recall the words of Jesus as He talks about the judgment. And we went to Matthew chapter 25 to talk about hell. But also talks about the fact that the righteous will go to life everlasting. Matthew chapter 25 and then verse 46, not going to end. And the Lord said, as recorded in John 5 and then verse 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And so heaven is eternal. And when we go there, we won't have to worry about enjoying it for a season and for that season to come to an end. But it will be forever and ever. But also, as you study the Bible, you find out that heaven is where the throne of God is. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 11 and in verse 4, the Bible says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." Now, I didn't just make that up. That the Lord's throne is in heaven, that's what the Scriptures say. And so the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. In the book of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was busy about preaching to those Jews, religious leaders on that occasion, they didn't like the words that he said. They were cut to the heart. He referred to them as stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart and ears. And he said, "You resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, you do also." And they stoned him. But the Bible says that Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up and saw the heavens open, the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7 and in verse 55. God is in heaven. And I understand that God is everywhere in the sense that there is no place that God cannot see. And that all that God is able to behold all things, as the Scriptures point out. But God's throne is in heaven. You read in the book of Revelation, and Revelation chapters 4 and 5, and specifically the throne scene, when John was able to look up and see the throne in heaven, and He that sat upon the throne, God is always, has been, always will be, in control. Not man, but God. But as you think about heaven, the fact that heaven holds all to them, and what the Scriptures talk about, and how beautiful heaven must be, you learn that heaven is hope realized. I've never seen heaven, but by the eye of faith, that is, as I read about it in the Scriptures, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But we long to go to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, and I sure do hope for heaven, don't you? I don't see it, but I hope for it. I anticipate it. I long for it, as you do. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so heaven will be hope realized. There will come a time when this earth life is no more. Time will be swallowed up in eternity. And hope will be swallowed up by sight. And I hope that we can appreciate that. But as you study about the joys of heaven and how beautiful heaven must be, I want us to understand that heaven is the place to which Jesus ascended. Folks, if heaven is not real, then where did Jesus go when He left the earth? Where did He come from to begin with? And where did He go when He left? But the Bible tells us that Jesus ascended to heaven and now takes His seat on the right hand of the Father, which is a place of authority, reigning as King of kings and Lord of lords over His kingdom, the church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. A lot of other passages substantiate that. In Mark 16, 19, the Bible says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. In Acts chapter 3, by the way, if you're studying along with us in the TV program, we're still in Acts chapter 3. We just finished, which will air tomorrow, lesson 19. And we're in Acts chapter 3. We talked about the fact that Peter and John went to the temple and healed a man that was lame from his mother's womb. And Peter has occasion to talk to them about Jesus. Now notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, and then verse 21, 20 and 21. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, now watch Him, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the foundation, or since the world began. Jesus ascended to heaven, and He'll be there until the time appointed of the Father, in which He'll come back and judge the world in righteousness, as we read about in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. And so, heaven is a place which Jesus ascended. I think about the statement made in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, after Hebrews chapter 11 talks about a great number of faithful people. And then in light of that, he says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joys that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus went back to heaven, where He came from. And one day He'll come again, not to set up an earthly kingdom. The kingdom is a church. When He comes back again, He won't set foot on this earth, but He will judge the world on that great judgment day. But also, heaven is a prepared place. We talked about the fact that hell is a prepared place. We read that in Matthew chapter 24, when those on the left, pictured on the judgment day, those on the left would hear those dreadful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Did you know that heaven is a prepared place? The Bible says in that same chapter, Matthew 25:34, come to those on the left, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. In the book of Matthew, or John rather, as we already talked about in verses 2 and 3, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And so, not only did Jesus ascend back to heaven, but ladies and gentlemen, we have a place prepared for us when this life is over. But then also, I think about what the Bible says about eternal salvation. You know, it's true that when we obey the gospel of Christ, we are saved from our past sins. The Bible makes that point in a number of places. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so when we obey the gospel, God will forgive us of every sin that we've ever committed, washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. But the Bible also talks about eternal salvation. And ladies and gentlemen, that'll be when this life is over, that we will never die again. Let me give you the passages that talk about that in Hebrews 9:27. When the Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And he says in verse 28, unto them that look for him the second time. Now premillennialists say that he's going to come back multiple times after he already went back to heaven. That verse won't allow. When he comes back the second time, which will be the last time, first time, he came to took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2. But when he comes back the second time, shall he appear separate apart from sin unto salvation. Unto salvation, eternal salvation. That's precisely what the Hebrew writer stated in Hebrews 5:9, that he is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So when I think about what the scriptures say about heaven, I can't help but think about eternal salvation. Eternal life. The Bible a number of times talks about eternal life, where we'll never die again. But also I think about being in the presence of God our Father and of the Lamb and of the redeemed for all ages, for all eternity. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 talks about the fact when Jesus comes that the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we for a little while, for some time, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You want to be with the Lord forever? In heaven? I do too. Revelation 7. Entire chapter, 17 verses, about the fact that the redeemed, those who made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, they that came out of great tribulation, will forever be with God, he who sits on the throne. But also I can't help but to think about the fact that heaven is far better than this life. Now I enjoy life, and I'm sure you do too. But sometimes life can be difficult. For God's people, it's often difficult. God never promised that to walk with him in this life would be easy. Far from it. He warned us that it would be difficult. Yea, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Timothy 3:12. The Bible assures us of the fact that it is going to be difficult as we strive to do the things that God would have us to do. And so it's not easy. And again, God never promised that it would be easy. I think I told you 2 Timothy 3:12, that we'll have persecution. Heaven is far better than this life. Paul, writing to the Church of Christ at Corinth, said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, 1 Corinthians 15:19. So I anticipate far better things to come. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:23. In the book of Romans 8:18, as Paul is writing, again he's writing to God's people, he's writing to the saints at Rome. Notice these words, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he talks about, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Better things to come for God's people. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. Hebrews 4 and in verse 9. In Hebrews 11, 16, the Bible talks about that they of the Old Testament, that they looked for a better country, that is, a heavenly country. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, notice what the Scriptures teach. Hebrews 10, 34 and 35. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, the writer of the book of Hebrews said, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have, now watch him, that ye have in heaven, what do we have? A better and an enduring substance. Now, in light of that, listen to the admonition in the next verse. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I can't think of any greater reward than to be able to be in heaven where all these things of which we're talking about will be. And so heaven is far greater than this life could ever be. But also I want us to understand and appreciate the fact that heaven is for the saved. Now, folks, I know there are people in our assembly this morning who have never obeyed the gospel. And you know that, and you probably don't need me to tell you, though I'm going to tell you anyway in kind words, but firm in words and true to the text. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, this place of which we're talking about will never be yours when this life is over. Eternally separated from God. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In Matthew 10, then verse 22. Or rather, Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 10, he talks about the fact that they which are worthy, counted worthy to obtain that resurrection. And that resurrection he's talking about is eternity. And obviously, and the only way to be raised into life eternally, where we'll never die again, is to obey the gospel. And he talks about being equal with the angels and so forth in that passage. In Revelation 21, 24, notice what in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, he talks about in Revelation 21 and 22, the eternal abode of the saved. Notice what he mentions in Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then in Revelation 22:15, for without, he's talking about without the city, a direct statement, reference to heaven. As said in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into that city, or direct reference, evident that he's talking about heaven. Then notice without, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I want to go to a place where sin is not found. One more point. As we think about how beautiful heaven must be. And ladies and gentlemen, we've just touched the hem of the garment, as it were, as we've talked about just a few things that the Bible says about heaven. And you say, well, preacher, I can think about some other points. Good for you. Share them with me. I'll jot them down so that I can read them and be reminded about them too. But you can grow the list and grow it and grow it. The last point that I want to impress upon you is the fact that heaven is obtainable. You can go to heaven when life is over if you want to. Do you want to go? If you're not saved and you say, preacher, I want to go, then what on earth are you waiting for to get prepared to go? If you really want to go, then do something about the condition of your soul so that you can go when life is over. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, of course, he's writing as all Bible writers did by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says, verses 24 and 25. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible. But we an incorruptible. That is, we run so as to obtain an incorruptible crown. One that never fades away, as we talked about. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul writing to Timothy says, hold, lay hold on eternal life. Are you laying hold on it? Striving with all your might to do what the Scriptures say, that you can hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, so that you can go to heaven. Listen, I'm telling you, if there's anything that is standing in your way this morning of obeying the gospel and living faithful unto God so that you can go to heaven, I want to encourage you, beseech you, admonish you, beg you to lay it aside. It's not worth it. It's simply not worth you losing your soul when this life is over. Is it? Shake or nod. It's not worth it. Shake our head. So obey the gospel. If you're here and you're subject to the gospel call, you're not a Christian, we encourage you to do that. Now, if you really want to go to heaven, and you realize that you're not a Christian, and you really want to go to heaven, then your actions are going to speak louder than words could ever do it. As we stand, we sing in just a moment. Whether or not you come forward and you take the opportunity that God blessed you with to obey the gospel. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, you do what they did in Bible days to become a Christian. That is hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting, that means turning from, changing your mind about what you've been doing, turning from the ways of the world, stop your meanness and do what's right. The Lord said, if we don't repent, we'll perish, Luke 13:3-5. And confess your faith in Christ, like the eunuch did when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8, in verse 37. And be immersed, baptized in water. What on earth would I do that for, preacher? Exactly why Peter said to do it in Acts 2:38, for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you arise to wake in newness of life, a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Lord Himself will add you to the one blood-bought institution, the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you're here this morning, you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord, and you went back out into the world, and you realized that you want to come home. You want to begin anew and have your sins forgiven. That again, you can be faithful to the Lord, restored. You have opportunity to do that, to repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer, 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll pray with you and for you. Are you resolved to do that? If so, come right now.